The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. In some respects, I kind of think today's gospel stinks. Maybe because I am more like a Martha than I am like a Mary. It doesn't seem that Mary gets to listen, and Martha, it doesn't seem just that Mary gets to listen and Martha has to do all the work, even if that is what they each chose at the beginning of Jesus' visit. I think I would like to be in the room also to learn more. But something says to me, the Lord is here for dinner. If we all sit around and listen, and then Jesus says, "What's for dinner?" And we all shrug, "Oh, dinner, we forgot to prepare dinner. Sorry, Jesus, your words are so great. We forgot to cook." There's a deep message of hospitality which runs through the readings today. I'd like you to consider the classic icon of Andrei Rublev, from the 15th century. There's kind of a modern version of it right here in front of the ambo if you want to look at it. It's titled The Blessed Trinity, and it depicts three angels actually sitting around a table. They're identical, or more or less, except for the color. It's the icon that has always represented the understanding of this event, of the visitation of God to Abraham and Sarah. And it gives us an account of the necessary response of hospitality. It's an interesting note if you look back at the text. Whenever the text of the scriptures speaks of the three visitors, it always talks about three men. But whenever Abraham always addresses them, he uses the singular. He says, "Sir," which is what the fathers of the church immediately thought of as being one God in three persons. The way we encounter God isn't necessarily in three parts, right? Our approach to God is probably directly more generally to God, and yet God manifests himself in three persons. They appear at Abraham's tent, which is out in the middle of nowhere, and Abraham is the host. And like Mary, it seems, he takes care of all the conversation. Sarah doesn't even talk to the guests. Later in the story, after an entire steer has been processed and cooked, so they must have been there for quite a while, they ask, "Is Sarah around?" She's off preparing rolls. Abraham has his people preparing the steer and the rest of what is needed for the meal. By all accounts, Abraham prepares a feast for them, and his hospitality is richly rewarded. They tell them that Sarah is to have a child within the year. So let's put this into context in the story from the Bible. They were really old. I'm only 60, and when I encounter people my age who have small children, I kind of shudder. I can't even imagine what that would be like to have, at this age, to have a child. Yet God made the promise to Abraham and Sarah, who are much, much older than I, a promise of descendants as numerous as the stars. I'm sure Abraham, hearing that, had no idea. But what we know today, having seen the most recent photos of the sky from NASA's new space telescope, which represents a portion of the sky as we see it, about the size of one grain of sand. Is it universes of galaxies or galaxies of universes? That's a lot of descendants. And Abraham and Sarah were well up in years, and it would not have been likely. After the miracle child is born, and old enough to carry the wood for a Holocaust fire, in a very poignant scene, God asks Abraham to witness his faith by sacrificing that miracle son. And in Abraham's faithfulness, the covenant is sealed. In the gospel, we see another visitation of God, this time to the house of Lazarus, Jesus' friend, and his daughters Mary and Martha. Proper hospitality seen here shows that the visit requires both those who are attentive as well as those who provide the meal. He is at home with his friends, and they are both caring for him, receiving what he is to give and giving him what he needs. So in the end, is Mary a slacker? I don't think so. In our tradition, spirituality is both contemplative and active. Vocations in our tradition tend to focus on the inner life or public ministry or both. Most of us as clergy and lay people are called to both. And remember, Jesus comes more than just once. I would hope that the next time Martha would speak up and remind Mary that the last time she sat and listened, and perhaps it is her turn to stay in the kitchen this time. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews reminds all of us to not be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby have some entertained angels unaware. In these instances, and how many others in your lives can you count that God himself has become present to you, not only in sacrament, but also in the daily events of life? We are united by what we do together. And I would be missing an opportunity. I know we practiced a song in Spanish. Now, why would that be at this Mass that we're going to do that? Because it's about hospitality. And I don't think anyone's really considered the fact that about 25% of our parish speaks Spanish, but they only get to come at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So guess how many people come? Not that many. So if we were able to provide a song in Spanish to help them feel more comfortable with us at Mass, think of the hospitality and the power of that for them, to at least be able to see that we care. So we are united by what we do together. The Church's ministry is to be both attentive and to give witness by what we ourselves say and do. Pope Francis, in his recent apostolic letter, refers to us with a hyphenated expression, Christ-Church. That's what he uses as when he describes us, Christ-Church. Isn't it true that the Church is truly alive when in our outreach to each other, especially to strangers, that in that encounter it is Christ that is discovered in us by them, and it is Christ who we encounter in those we serve? In our dialogue of words and actions of the mystical body of Christ, in each it is Christ who serves and Christ who is served. It is Christ who discovers and who is discovered.